look at the mess in the pretty dress. And do your best to reminisce. Focus, just watch her stumble through the rain. She'll never be the same again. Oh well, she was looking for an easy fix. And somehow she fit you in the mix. Well, it won't be long until the crash. Look how she's counting on the glass.
Yes, welcome back. We're here. We are finally here. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show! That's us. My name is Joe Carbe. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer, and comic book creator. And across from me is the one and only, always the greatest thing I've ever met in my whole entire life, the greatest artist, cartoonist, Carolyn Bilewski. How's it going, Carolyn?
Going pretty well. I've had a pretty exciting, jam-packed week.
Nice. That's always good.
I mean, just to recap from our last episode, Chewy's did open, and so I was so excited to be there opening night.
You guys gotta definitely listen to that past episode from last week with Carrie Jo talking about, you know, everything from
nachos.
Jail time and nachos.
Jail so and nachos.
That's all we really want on this show, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I really want jail, even though it's tempting.
But great stories.
But you have to listen to the episode to see why it's tempting.
Yeah. And you guys are listening to the new Olivia Jean in the background, reminisce. Saw her live last Sunday before Jack White. Great show. Absolutely great show. Can't say how that wasn't already. That was just the greatest rock show I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And that's what I gotta say. So yeah, listen to Olivia Jean. Go out there and buy that. Buy some Jack White stuff. And now it's time for the Carolyn's News.
Oh my gosh. It's my own news segment. Yeah. That's how you know it's my news, because of this music. What is this, Trent Reznor?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we've just wrapped up 2 weeks in a row of Comic-Cons, Baltimore Comic-Con and SPX, and those all went great. And the blog recap and photos are on curls-studio.com if you check out the blog. But now we have a few weeks, I guess, I won't say off, because we're still going to work on stuff, but it's a little breather so we don't have to travel anywhere, so that's kind of nice. But then we have a major, major convention coming up, and I expect you all to be there. Okay.
Everyone
on the East Coast should be coming to not Baltimore, New York.
They already went to Baltimore.
Yeah, New York. The green big red apple.
The green big red what?
The red apple.
The sour apple, New York. Is that what it is?
Anyway, yes, I totally butchered that. But New York Comic Con is coming up, and it's exciting, and it's the biggest show on East Coast. It's October 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, 4-day show. I don't even know if you can get tickets, honestly.
I don't even know if you can.
I think they might be sold out, but you know what? Try.
But you can try.
You can try. Check out eBay or something. But if you're going to already be coming to New York Comic Con, you should definitely check us out. We are going to be located in Small Press Area 1162. But now I'm concerned that they're not calling it Small Press, because I went on their website and they're listing it as Comic Pavilion. Which actually I think is better term.
Fine. Comic Pavilion, find us there, right?
But the thing is, technically, I really don't know until I get there. Because I don't know what their signage is going to be or any of that.
But they'll know the table number at least.
Yes.
They'll know where that's located.
So just so you know, I'm just going to still call it Small Press and then also Comic Pavilion.
/ Comic Pavilion.
Because you'll be able to find us. It's on the show floor. And write this down. It's number 1162. That's where you will find Curl's Studio and Laughing Redhead Studio again. Same booth as last year. We're going to occupy that spot. And that's pretty exciting. So, again, that's a 4-day show. And I already checked out on their website. They have a feature called Map Your Show. And you can sign in, you know, create an account. It really takes, like, basically 15 seconds to create an account. And it didn't take me very long at all. It wasn't, like, a tedious process. And then you can mark which items you want to do the whole day. And also you can mark which panels you want to do. And not just the whole day, but whatever, 4 days. And you can mark it all down. And then you can export a PDF at the end and just print out your whole itinerary.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet. And I did check out some of the panels as well. This year we did not apply to do a panel. But we have done panels in New York in the past. And they're very exciting. But they have great panels this year. I saw one on Amanda Connor. Like a spotlight on Amanda Connor and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So I was really excited to see that.
I wonder how you pitch that. Does Amanda Connor pitch that, or does someone else be like, I think we should do a spotlight on Amanda Connor?
I mean, I guess it's like a mix of someone, but also you can pitch your own to New York. And this year, I guess like time went by and I didn't pitch because I didn't realize that the time already went by and the deadline. So it's my fault. But you know, in the past we have done, I think like two or three panels at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. And that's all online too. If you want to look it up on YouTube, it's called The Other Side of the Table. And you should be able to find those panels, the video and audio.
It's so cool because it has a lot. Jimmy Palmiotti was on one. Raina Telgemeier's on one. Riley Brown. So we're with the elite there.
Yeah.
Because we are.
We invited the elite. So, yeah, like definitely really exciting times at New York Comic Con this year. I think it's going to be really big. Last year, I did not really get to check out most of the show at all. Like, I just saw, like, Felix the Cat. And I was like, oh, I'll take a picture with you, Felix. And then that was pretty much it. But this year, I really do want to try to attend maybe at least one panel. Just so I feel like I am not always, like, just behind the booth the whole time. Just to, like, at least experience New York Comic Con for myself.
Yeah.
So that will be exciting. I don't know which panel I'm going to pick to go to. But I do want to at least go to one. But yeah, because last year I just felt like it was just so much behind the table that I didn't actually see the show. So I would like to at least be there for one of them. Because in the past New York Comic Cons we've been to, I've actually like been almost like half and half, like a fan and half like a participant, you know? So, I mean, well, I guess a fan and a creator. So I just want to ride that wave of like being able to merge them both instead of just being like solid business. Because, you know, you want to be able to enjoy yourself too. Do you get that feeling ever, Joe? Because you actually got
It's tough for me to feel any feelings.
It's tough to be both, actually. Like once you start, I guess the comics touring for, we've been doing it like a little bit over 5 years, and it's just like, you after a while you kind of want to be able to like enjoy this. Not like I'm saying it's not enjoyable, but it's work.
So then you realize how much work it actually is to try to enjoy the convention too.
Yeah, and then especially at New York, there's so much people. And here's my one big New York Comic Con tip: if you are going for your first time, is that make sure you really do actually map your show, because, or like at least be familiar with the map ahead of time, because otherwise there's so many people there that you get caught in a sea of people and they will just drag you around in this big wave and you will not know where you are even walking to, like a walking dead zombie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, I mean, it is a big show and it's really fun and really cool. But I just want to be able to like at least enjoy one thing to like myself, I guess. Cause it's like, everyone who's there, I'm not saying that it's like a big ball of stress, but it is like a slightly stressful event to like get up to New York, have a place to stay, make sure you have everything for your show and like set up and talk to people. I mean, it's not necessarily like a piece of cake, you know. It is like there's effort involved, and every single person who is there, even if you're just an attendee and just walk through the door, you still had to plan out like how to get there and all that. I mean, it is like, and then plus navigating around people, it is like somewhat energizing, but I want to make sure it's like a healthy energy and not stressed out. But yeah, New York Comic Con is awesome. Again, we're going to be at 1162. Yeah, in Comics Pavilion. So make sure you map your show, guys. And also, I'm stretching like my news out really long. The following weekend after New York Comic Con, on that Sunday, on October 19th, we are going to be at Annapolis Comic Con. And that is from 10 o'clock to 4 p.m.
Let's not forget that there's actually a Mickey and Mallory show on that 17th, too. Just throw that out there.
Oh, yeah. We need to update like news with your news.
Maybe one day we'll get my band partner on the show.
Yeah,
we can all
definitely talk
about it. Can all talk about it.
So what's your plug? October 17th?
October 17th in Front Royal at Happy Creek Cafe is going to be one of the first full-length live performances of Mickey and Mallory, a band that I am part of. So definitely go out there and check that out. You'll hear us talk about that a whole lot.
Cool.
Why not?
And here's some more details again on the Annapolis Comic Con on October 19th. Some major details. Kids under 10 get in free.
That's right. That means we all get in for free.
Hell yeah. Well, that's all I really wanted to spotlight there, because that's... That's pretty awesome. And then I checked their schedule, and they're supposed to, I guess, update their schedule, but it says it's coming soon. So, I mean, they have like a month or so to get that ready, but...
And these are the same guys that makes Awesome Con. Yeah. So you know this is going to be a pretty awesome show for you to go in there and get that little sample of how great Awesome Con is. Little taster, teaser, massive, you know. It's one of those sampler platters that you can be part of. I don't know, maybe we'll be able to record a podcast there. I don't know, maybe let's see what happens. Because we always tried.
I mean, last year we did a podcast there, right?
That's right, yeah. We did. So let's see if we can... politic our way into that one.
You and your evil laugh. But no, I mean, like, this week has been like I like that. I mean, we're also in the background now, we are listening to the new record from Madden Brothers, which I picked up on.
I love that we throw in our little plugs in there. This is what we do
this
to
is
not
like the total plug
this
show.
Is what we do to not get in trouble, guys. They're smart enough. We're promoting them. We will promote you.
And
if
we're also
you want
like,
to.
We're also talking over it, so it's not like I don't. Can anyone actually extract that audio?
No, absolutely
so it's
not.
Like, it's especially, not like we're getting it for free. If anything, we're like promoting.
And especially in the rapid fire way in which we have a conversation. Anyway, it's just such like you know, it's hard to take anything else but just our words in which we're talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of words, speaking of podcasting, we saw Tusk yesterday before we recorded this. And I think that's actually a good idea why we recorded this podcast at this time, because there is always a time in which we like to... We did an immediate review of Red State after we saw that. So I thought it'd be a great idea just to talk about Tusk because, you know, to keep in the same flavor. Kevin Smith, one of the inspirations of us having a podcast around, making a movie based on an episode of a podcast that they talked about and pitched the whole and basically created the story called Tusk.
Which I did not know about until the end credits when they played, whatever, 4 minutes of their conversation of planning out that, which I thought was a nice touch. To add on to that, because I didn't know it was based off of like a podcast idea.
So how would you describe, now that you've seen it, for the people out there, you know, Kevin Smith, Scott Mosier, you know, they made Smodcast, and of course they inspired everyone to, they're in the podcast game before anyone else, and we jumped in almost pretty much after listening the first 10 of their episodes. Before that, there was no really podcasting, you know what I mean? And now everyone has a
podcast before it, but I think they like had name value, so they were able to rise the podcast genre up even more.
It made sense for me to hear that because Kevin Smith has always been already talking in general. You know what I mean? He was doing those talks like at schools or, you know, like those a night
like
with Kevin Smith stuff. Yeah, and people would just ask him questions. So it almost made sense that he has that content to just talk, you know, to run, and him and Scott Mosier. And then you know, of course, see that goes by. Then now everyone has a podcast, yeah. Which is one of the main characters of Tusk.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay. So going into Tusk, all I knew about it is that it was Kevin Smith movie, and it was about a podcaster, and then something about a walrus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay.
And the main character's name is what's his name?
Wallace,
yeah.
Well, I didn't know about that going into the movie, but that is a cool touch.
Yeah.
But so then I
so
was
just
talking
so you know, people,
to my friend.
We might have spoilers in this, so if you want to watch the movie first.
First watch the movie, and then come back and listen to
Just so
to
you
the
know,
Carol
we warned
Joe
you
show.
Ahead of time, because we're going to talk about this movie, and then probably other stuff too, but we'll talk about this movie.
So basically I knew that, and so then I was talking to my friend Susan on the phone, and it's actually funny because there is history to us and Kevin Smith, apparently. I met this chick because, oh man, it was like a while ago, like 4 or 5 years ago. And basically, we were talking about Wonder Woman, and they changed her design. I guess Jim Lee drew this to
pants. They gave her pants?
Yeah, they gave her pants. And like, honestly, I wasn't like riled up, but like, it's like internet, so everyone was getting like vocal about it, you know? And I mean, I wasn't, like, at the level of furiousness, but I was just like, man, like, I don't really like the pants, you know, I like it not pants, and, because I'm, like, actually, like, not a big fan of pants, unless they're, like, pajama pants, I just want to relax at home or something, yeah, but when I'm going out, like, I really don't, I can get by with pants, but I'm not, like, a big fan of pants, I want to, like, let my, like,
Let it breathe, yeah.
Like, and I will wear pants like in the wintertime because it is cold, and so like I have to sacrifice my look for being warm because I actually get cold so easily. So To me, it's not very pleasant to be cold, so I would just sacrifice the fashion to wear pants so that I can be warm. But in general, and then I did start this look with wearing, like, sweater tights, so that at least, like, it would keep me warm, and it's not, like, feeling as structured as the pants, and then I could still wear a skirt, because I like wearing dresses and skirts instead.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something for everyone. But anyway, so Jim Lee made these pants on Wonder Woman, and I was like, man, I hate pants. Like, I'm not a fan of pants. So then, Kevin Smith was chatting about it on Twitter, and then he, like, I guess retweeted or answered back to Susan, my friend Susan, and then, like, her name at that time on Twitter was something like Comic Books Girl or Comic Book Girl or something. There's actually a few Comic Books Girls that, like, all have that same name.
Yeah.
I think she's since gotten rid of it, but, and changed it, but anyway, so I, like, was like, that's interesting, it's a Comic Book Girl. Because at that time, there was actually less. Like,
yeah.
Now there's, like, a lot this more, is, but,
yeah.
Like, whatever, four or five years ago, there wasn't as many. And so I was like, who is this? And then, like, I clicked it, and it said, like, whatever, Northern Virginia or something. And then I was like, what? She's, like, in this area. And so then I, like, talked, you know, I, like, was like, hey, you're from this area. And then somehow...
Hey, you're from this area. She's like, I know.
Well, anyway, no, I don't even remember how that went, but I was just like, oh, hey, I'm from the area too. Like, you like comics too or something. And like, so then we were like, oh, we're both going to be at Baltimore Comic Con. So then we saw each other at Baltimore Comic Con. So that like worked out pretty well. And, you know, she's great. And then she actually moved out of the area. So like, I don't really get to see her at all as much anymore. But anyway, at least we do still keep in conversations,
yeah.
You know? Anyway, So basically, we were like, oh, yeah, he has the new movie out. You know, fast forward to last week.
You guys were talking about Kevin Smith?
So we were talking about Kevin Smith.
Online?
Like, no, on phone.
Okay.
And so we're like, oh, my gosh, yeah, he basically brought us together, you know? So in a way, it's like I owe, like, a friendship to Kevin Smith.
Because it's been a weird turn of events, because the last time I heard Kevin Smith retired, and then he was like, he was going to retire after making the hockey movie, which now the title escapes me.
It was something like a one word thing, like Crush or something. It wasn't Crush, but it was something like that, right? It was, it was like something like
Hit Somebody.
It was Hit Somebody.
Based on that poem or song that they made, that was made. And then, you know, the story I heard from that was, you know, maybe Sean William Scott already did a hockey movie, or they're going to make it into a show or like a series. And so I was like, is he retiring? Is he not retiring? I don't know what's going on. Does anyone actually really retire? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things, because it's like, okay, so you have a long span of time in between movies. Does that mean you retired between them? Because there's filmmakers who, you know, take 10 years in between movies and stuff like that. Movies aren't an easy thing to make, man.
I guess he's at the point where, like, I mean, I'm just guessing. Like, he's probably just like, oh, man, I announced my retirement too early. I still want to make films.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe his focus is, like, podcasting and films, but he'll just do it, like, on his schedule,
And I thought it was interesting, you know, just all of a sudden I started hearing, you know, words of Tusk and, you know, there's sort of like... I was like, wait, so now there's another movie. It's a horror movie. So he's back into the horror game, like in Red State. You know, and the thing is, I dropped off from listening to the Smodcast. I'd listened to a little bit, like, I've been listening more to the Fat Man on Batman stuff than all the other stuff.
I listened to the Fat Man on Batman because that's awesome. And he has, like, Paul Dini and, like, really cool people.
Yeah, and Grant Morrison and stuff like that. And all, you know, specifically the Grant Morrison stuff, since that's one of my huge influences. But then I started hearing about Tusk, you know, and that's cool. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I saw the trailer of Tusk. I was like, oh, they already made it. It's already happening. You know, I didn't really know the story that it was based off of a podcast either.
Well, also, like, back to the Susan thing, like, because we were like, oh, yeah, Tusk is coming out. And I was like, yeah, like, I don't really know about it. All I know is it's, like, a podcaster and a walrus or something. Like, that's pretty much how I was talking about it. I'm like, yeah, it's, like, a podcaster and, like, a walrus. I'm like, what? It's, like, I guess it's a horror movie. Like, we were like that. And then she basically, like, had it pretty well done when she was, like, replied back to me. She was like, yeah, it's, like, Kevin Smith's interpretation of, like, the Human Centipede or something.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, because I never watched Human Centipede, but I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And so then, like, instantly in my brain, I basically, like, made how the story was going to be. I'm like, all you have to do is say, like, podcaster, horror movie, walrus, Human Centipede.
It's like, what else is it going to be? You know what I mean?
I know. So, but, like, so then on, I guess it was Saturday, you were like, we want to go see Tusk. And then, like, I'm like, in my head, I was like, oh, okay. And then, like, and then I just answer back, like, okay.
And then,
and then you're like, well, it starts at, like, whatever time.
Starts in 5 minutes.
And there's basically 5 minutes. And luckily, we do live near a movie theater, so which is really awesome. Actually, we live really close to, like, two movie theaters within 5 minutes of our joint here in the studio. But, like, just... it's just pretty awesome, like, how we were able to jet out there and watch it right when the trailers ended, and then we were just, like, watching the movie. But, yeah, like, so what did you, going into it, all you knew was the same thing as well? Or you saw the trailer before?
I mean, I saw the trailer.
I did not see the trailer.
I saw the trailer, you know, and I was really intrigued by the trailer itself. You know, and I had no idea, because, like, you know, you think about this stuff, and I always thought, like, visually, like, Red State was one of the best looking, like, most intriguing looking Kevin Smith movies there is. And, like, for me, I was like, oh, so he's gonna retire after that? I was like, he's on the verge of, because before, Kevin Smith, his shooting style was very much in the Jim Jarmusch, just, like, straight ahead, you know what I mean? Like, nothing, not trying to get too visual. You know, he wasn't really his focus was, like, on the dialogue, so he wasn't really the best in, you know, he wasn't focusing on trying to make this, like, super cinematic. And with Red State, I saw that, and I was like, wait a minute, so now he's putting that in there. And, like, for me to think, oh, now he's going to retire after this, I was like, why? You got more visuals happening here, you know what I mean?
And
you're developing, you're learning.
He's
you
still,
know?
Like, young enough that it's not, like, in my head, I'm like, you're retiring now?
The filmmakers, like, don't retire.
Freaking, yeah.
People have been, like, 96 and making films.
Exactly, like, I just don't, and also I don't see him, like, I mean, maybe retirement wasn't the right word he could have used. Maybe he just said, like, shifting focus to podcasting or something. You know what I mean?
If that wasn't even how it happens.
Writing. You know what I mean? But
I can understand a frustration from the business.
Where
people are just
too.
Like, oh, you know, there's a niche. And it's funny because he could have been, like, that at that point. It's almost like when that was happening, the superhero boom was there, but it wasn't, like, you know, it was happening. But it's just like, well, Kevin Smith was one of the beginning of, like, was on the one of the godfathers of the comic book boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost like for him not to get respect for something that's such a mass money-making machine at this point, in which he already revels in. You know what I mean? It's almost like a disrespect.
But he's, like, still, for some reason, like, not included in that, like, Hollywood elite level of, like, directors. Like, he's still like, oh, you're from New Jersey.
I guess because they're still doing, like, oh, it's the shit and fart jokes and stuff like that, talking about that. You're not like a Paul Thomas Anderson, you know?
I'm not intellectual. But he's, like, Kevin Smith's still, like, a smart dude, you know? It's just that he comes from a different angle.
I mean, everyone will make the film, if they're honest, everyone's going to make a different film. You know, we're not all going to make There Will Be Blood. Or, you know, we're not all going to make Inside Llewyn Davis. We make our film. When it comes down to it, if we're let to do what we do, our films are going to be different. We shouldn't copy each other. Though there'll be influences, but... just like anything else. So it's tough to compare people when they're like, oh, well, they're not as good as this other person. It's like, how the hell are you going to measure they're not as good as someone else when they're doing their own thing?
But what I'm getting at is that Hollywood, I was going to call it Heavenwood for some reason.
No, Hellwood.
Hellwood. Hollywood still looks at Kevin Smith as an outsider for whatever reason.
And if you think about
even though he, like, definitely shouldn't be considered like that, he made it on his own.
Well,
like,
that's what makes him an outsider.
Terms.
It's like you're not so required to do it in the studio, so the studio market making machine is gonna it's gonna Chris Benoit you know?
Yeah. Well, he did do that Bruce Willis movie that I never saw. That was, like, that was in the machine.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And I never talk about that.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
And I don't really have a desire to. And, like, it's also,
you know, it's
part
not
of
coming
the way...
because
he, because the way he speaks about it. Because we've heard him, like, live speak about it. And it just doesn't... He doesn't really sell it to make me want to watch it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess he's, like, one of those filmmakers that he needs to have his own vision and not do someone else's vision.
See, for me, it's easier for me to watch something when I know it's coming... it is the piece of work from the auteur, from the director, because I take it out of the gauge of watching it, like, as part of the machine, you know, so it's something like, wow, this is, like, straight from this dude's voice. And I feel more honest when watching it. I feel more like, okay, this is definitely worth my money because it's a piece of them. You know, they're putting their guts on the screen and seeing what happens.
And also, I think Kevin Smith gets a bad rap because I actually really like Jersey Girl, and it does have heart in it, and it does have, like, whatever his... cruel sense of, or not cruel, but, like, creepy, whatever. I don't know what words to use. No, his, like, I don't know, the Kevin Smith humor in it, but then, like, he injects like a lot of heart into Jersey Girl.
I love the hell out of Jersey Girl.
But let me say also, here's a conversation I had with a coworker like 2 weeks ago about Kevin Smith. They thought that he made that Jiggly movie. And I was like, no, he didn't make that. I was like, that came, like, then he was like, no, check IMDb. And I'm like, I swear he didn't make, what is it, Jiggly or Jiggly or whatever? Yeah.
The other Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, sorry.
We're totally butchering all these names. But no, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck did make Jiggly or Jilly together. And that's like, you know, known, I guess, as like one of the worst movies ever. But like, I think people, for some reason, just associate that with Jersey Girl, and that's what led to part of the downfall of Jersey Girl right off the start.
You know, it's really strange.
But anyway, so then we checked IMDb, and it's like, you know, it's not Kevin Smith, but then we found out, I guess it came out right before that. So then it already was riding that, like, the stink of Jiggly.
Yeah, and that's the genius of the marketing people, that he doesn't, that he's mad at, that he was mad at the time.
Also,
you know?
The cover for Jersey Girl is pretty shitty. And it has, like a picture of, like, George Carlin with his eyes crossed. And then right above it, right near it, it has, like, this is a great movie from Larry King, quote.
It's funny we bring up Jersey Girl and Jiggly or Jiggly, because it has Ben Affleck. And for some reason, last night, I had a dream that I had a conversation with Ben Affleck.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about this dream.
I have no idea what it was. I think it was like a working dream, as if we were working together.
That's good.
And he was like mad. And I was like, what are you mad about? And he's like, because you got to do it like this. I was like, I hear you. You know what I mean? It wasn't something. In my head, I don't want to be, I'm not, you know, let's not be fanboys. I'm in a working relationship. We're creatively making something. But it just, in this one, it was with Ben Affleck. I don't know what it was, why it was.
Well,
but
it's like cool that you're making something with Ben Affleck. But then on the other hand, it seems like you had a creative difficulties together.
This is the same thing. It's a creative discussion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime I'm working with anyone in some sort of creative endeavor, whether it be a band or an artist or a filmmaker, that's to me. And when I tell this to people, and they sort of get thrown off about this, but I always say like, hey, listen, any partnership, there will be times where you will get mad, and it's a partnership.
Yeah,
you know?
Like any good partnership,
you will get mad, and you'll have all the things that encompass a relationship. Don't try to play it hardcore like, oh, this is going to be just butterflies all the time. No! If it's any good, you both are going to want to have to fight for it. And if it's any good, if two people are fighting for something that is for the source and to make the project better, it's going to be great. Because the two passions and the honesty is going to make something both amazing. You know what I mean? It just happens to be that if both people are coming from a great, honest place, you're going to have to fight for it. And if you can imagine when those two actually merge, it's going to be a great product. But if one is not being honest towards the whole piece, then it's going to falter. So people are going to have to come to an agreement that, like, hey, listen, this one actually works. Yeah, your part works too. How can we make it work? You know, we got to put both that together. But I think that's not anything we're talking about. But yeah, so Tusk.
Yes, it's Tusk. But basically this is, I guess, Kevin Smith's return from retirement.
Yeah, and return to the horror film.
Yeah, and so
what do you think of the performances? Because you had Justin Long was in there.
Well, first of all, Justin Long, I am already a fan of because he is the Mac guy, and he was in New Girl. And,
just because he was the Mac guy.
No. Also, you know that I have been a Justin Long fan even before since I knew his name. I was just like, the Mac guy is cool.
Yeah.
And then also he was dating Drew Barrymore for a while, and then he was
he was in Zack and Miri.
Yeah, in my favorite actually performance of him of all time was Zack and Miri when he played like the gay guy. That was so awesome.
It's funny because we're like, wow, now he's a Kevin Smith guy.
Yeah, he is like a Kevin Smith guy now officially. And but yeah, so like him in the movie, I hate his mustache, but that was part of the character, and there's like a really cool joke about the mustache in there, so that I'm like okay with as far as like character. But I like really did not like his mustache.
But it's a total gimmick mustache.
It's like a character mustache, of course. So, like, I totally understand.
And it was part of the story.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that. But in a way, it's interesting now that we bring it back because walruses kind of have whiskers or like a mustache.
Exactly. So, see, it's a visual thing. That's why I'm saying Kevin Smith is learning. He's bringing it all in.
Yeah. And so there, you know, I support it for the story, but it looks horrible on him. I just want to say.
He looks like his face is like, you know, has this whiskers, and his name is Wallace.
Yeah.
So pretty much the plot of this story, just so you guys know, is simple. You know, podcaster goes out. You know, he is a podcaster. Apparently, he's a famous podcaster. He's in the story they mentioned he made like $100,000, so he's successful at podcasting with his partner. I would just call him Harry Joel Osment.
Yeah.
You guys know him from The Sixth Sense and any other movie at that point from the little kid, but now he's grown up and he looks like a Seth Rogen or he looks like a Jack Black, you know. But basically, he goes out to Canada to interview a kid who chopped his leg off in a YouTube famous video while he was doing a samurai sword, and they're making fun of
him.
It was
like the Kill Bill kid.
Yeah, the Kill Bill kid. They're making fun of him, and he was like, "I'm gonna go out there to Canada and I'm gonna go interview the guy." He goes out there, the kid killed himself. So now
he sees a funeral.
Yeah, he sees a funeral and he finds out that the kid killed himself. So now Justin Long's character, Wallace now needs to fill content because now his interview is gone. So he has to find a new interview. So while he's at a bar, he sees a letter. And has a guy, an old gentleman.
It was up on like a message corkboard.
Yeah, in front of the urinal, and he's like, you know, he sees that the guy says the writing says he can tell stories, meet up with me, blah blah blah. So he searches for that guy, you know, calls him up. It's 2 hours away. Has to drive all the way out there to like middle of nowhere,
in the dark,
in not Wichita lit up. Or wherever, Canada, you know. And he goes there, and that's where he meets this guy. You know, and they have a conversation. They drink tea. Gets drugged. You know, and I think you guys can see what happens after that.
Yeah. Well, but what I was saying also about like the Kill Bill kid and his suicide. Do you think that was also a message to the podcaster to be like, "Hey, man, I was really hurt, and now you made fun of me, and now I'm just gonna kill myself, and then you're gonna come to my house and see me dead."
You think that's the message that the kid gave to him?
Yeah.
Or gave to the podcaster?
Yeah.
Like, I think if that's the stupidest message ever, I'm going to kill myself because of this podcaster.
No, no, not because of just that one podcaster, just as a statement, as of like in general, the whole internet was making fun of him. And then he turned down apparently an interview with Oprah, and then he wanted to have a podcaster interview him. Do you think that was like, I'm just trying to think of like secondary or tertiary things within the story. Do you think that was like a message? He was using that podcaster as a message to the whole internet to be like, "Hey man, you guys all made fun of me, and now I'm just gonna kill myself and make you guys feel like shit."
What's the message?
The message is probably like, don't make fun of people or something.
I mean,
you know?
It's
like,
an obvious thing. Don't make fun of people. I mean,
but like, he must have. Oh, there's two angles to it. Either it was he killed himself as a message, or in addition to that, or another reason would be like he was made fun of so much that he just didn't want to live life anymore.
Here's the real message
with
I see.
One leg.
Here's the real message I see out of that I get out of it. So many people in this world think that because they're saying, "Oh, this video has over 300 hits, blah 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 blah." So many people take likes and hits as like this. You're fame and you're great. You're great. You have nothing to worry about. You're the greatest thing ever since sliced bread, since toast. And you know, people make that the greatest thing. But in actuality, this guy has over 300 hits, world famous.
He had more than 300.
Over 300,000 hits.
Yeah.
Over 300 million hits. But at the end of the day, it didn't make him feel better, did it?
No.
He still felt like shit. So in a way, that's the message. It doesn't matter how many hits you have. It doesn't matter at all. It just matters about your real life happiness. These hits are not going to make you happy.
Because also the podcaster in the beginning.
Because he killed himself.
In the beginning, the podcaster is like with his girlfriend and he's kind of acting like a dick and like trying to be funny and like, "Haha, I'm a comedian now. And look at my mustache. And now I'm like the new Wallace, you know? And now I'm successful because now I have like, I made over $100,000 this year on podcasting." And he's like doing his spiel like with his girlfriend, like acting like he's on air, you know, or recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, she's like, "Wallace, you don't have to be like this, you know, like I miss the old Wallace, you know, like the friendlier, nicer boyfriend,
we get these scenes of reveal during we see the stages in which Wallace gets slowly transformed to what he becomes at the very end. Like in between each times we see like, this is the past Wallace, this is what's really happening in the real world. So almost in a way you get one idea of what Wallace is in the beginning. Oh, he's a podcaster, he's innocent, he's going out there looking for an interview, is this really bad? But slowly you realize like, you know, you realize certain things that doesn't make him a purely awesome person. You know what I mean? First, he's making fun of the handicapped people, you know, and then, you know, he can't divide himself between his fame or between his show. And then, of course, then the next stage, and you find out, like, oh, he's not as, you know, he's not as pure to his girlfriend as what's supposed to be. And, you know, Genesis is a pretty awesome, pretty hot girl, you know. And then that's the big question. It's like, you know, why would you do that? And
but
then,
was she loyal to him?
At the same time, that's probably, yeah, there's that double-edged sword of that, too. So there's both of those ends. But at the same time, you know, it's like, I felt like she was probably more honest and loyal towards their relationship, like, as in, like, being as, like, a person. But then through the conversation that that Wallace was having, he would get any other tale that they have on the road, you know. Mm. But she's not really trying to just get any other tale, you know. So there's that difference, too.
Well, I guess, like, there were so many overlapping layers that I thought was interesting about the whole movie in general, because on one hand, you can be like, oh my god, this is such a silly, dumb movie. It's like, oh, this podcaster gets abducted and then he's made into a walrus. Like, you could look at it just from, like, that really basic level and be like, what a stupid, like, B-movie, what a dumb concept. You could look at that.
Did someone say that?
I'm sure someone out there looks at it like that, but then...
Sorry, there's many people for anything like that.
Exactly, but then...
It's like, a guy dresses up like a bat and fights crime. That's stupid. It's
exactly.
Like, really...
There are people out there that think like that, or like, oh, cartoons.
See,
oh, overall, all cartoons are for babies.
But
like, I've heard that before.
Everyone with this idea of B-movie and this and that, or low... You know, it's like, they have no... It's like, not Kevin Smith, but, you know, Bruce Campbell was right. I mean, anytime you have a giant... bat or man dressing up as a bat or a guy with spider or giant insects and lizards, Bruce Campbell's like, that is a B movie. We're just making bigger budget B movies, you know what I mean?
It's like, it's true.
That's exactly what it is. But also, like, the idea of, like, does that make it better or worse? No. Does that even make it a B movie? Just back in the day, those were classified as B movies, but those are actually really great movies. It's like, what is an A movie? Oh, 12 Years a Slave? Because now we're all making
it's
super
all serious.
Yeah, we're making this. Does that make it entertaining or memorable? I mean, at the end of the day,
well, a lot of people don't actually like A movies if you think about it.
If that's what we classify as A movies,
or like an Oscar type movie, like I actually think a lot of people don't enjoy that. They're not like the popcorn movie where they can just sit down and be like, haha, Dumb and Dumber, yeah, that was so funny, Encino Man, you know, like I think actually people are just looking to have fun. Like, who wants to? I mean, I'm not trashing 12 Years a Slave. It's a well done movie, but like. Like, I don't think anyone really walks out of that theater feeling, like, really uplifted, you know? It's more of just, like, it makes you think about the world and all that, and
yeah.
It makes people, some people might cry or something, like, and at least it brings out that emotion. But what I'm getting at is that, like, some people just want to have enjoyment. But also, I guess what I mean by the underlining, like, somebody could easily look at Tusk and be like, what a B-movie, man, this guy just turns into a walrus, okay. Like, but then, if you think about it, there's, like, so many layers that, like...
What are the layers that you enjoyed?
Well, first of all, like...
That you found intriguing.
He was making fun of the kid that cut off his own leg with a sword, trying to emulate Kill Bill. And then...
Because
he's
a freak. He lost his kid.
He actually got his leg chopped off. That was the first... I guess, like, installment of becoming a walrus so that he could have his tusks made out of his leg bones.
Yeah.
And
so it comes back around that.
And then, like, so then it's like, oh, well, now since you made fun of that kid, now look at you. And, like, he's totally stuck in that house and will never have a real life, will never have anything. Just like the other kid commits suicide, he can't even live anymore. In a way, like, I'm not saying that suicide is justified, but, like, he probably had a better life than being a walrus for the rest of your life. Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, you know, like, I actually had a moment, like, the next morning after watching this film is, like, brushing my teeth, and I'm like, man, like, what if I was, like, captive as a walrus for the rest of my life? Like, it's not enjoyable. Like, I don't think... What are you supposed to do? You can't contribute to society. You can't talk to anybody. You can't...
Because he took out his tongue.
Yeah, like, you just sit there in your, like, little pond and, like, be a walrus. It's like, what the hell?
I wonder how that was pitched to Justin Long. It's like, okay, so at the end, now you're going to be in a walrus suit and you're with human skins and you're going to be stuck in there and that's how you're going to act.
It's, like, so strange. It's really, like, a strange movie, but it's entertaining because it makes you, like, really think about, like, you know, making fun of people. There's that angle, like, bullying. And because, like, even he was kind of, I've seen, like, worse dicks than him, but I think he was being a dick.
Because it's like a shock jock style.
Yeah, he was, like, trying to just be, like, entertaining dick, you know, like, to be like, oh, I'm such a dick. And then, like, even when he was asking for directions, like, at a local convenience store, and he was, like, being a dick about, like, hey, can you give me a pad and paper? Like, you know, like, he was, like, the king, you know?
But see, that's where the truth lies. It's like, he didn't want to be, like, that dick or the, you know, like, the whatever that perception of the harsh, you know, his harsh, like, persona. But then once he started doing that, that's when he started getting the hits and the views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's almost like that's another layer of that commentary. It's like, well, no one wants to, you know, it's like the, what's it called? Like I heard this yesterday, but the bad guys get more press than the good guys. We heard that on Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
The good guys never get as good as ink as the bad guys. So then him being almost like as a villain on the radio is what gets people to notice him. So it's almost like it's that's that commentary on humanity. It's like, this is your entertainment is to me, I always thought that your entertainment represents you. So with more hits, that's what people are. They want to be like that. You know, they want to be, you know, ridiculing other people and stuff
and
like
that. And like more controversy always is going to get people to be like, wait, what are you talking about? And then, like, you know, that's how it works. But yeah, like him. His whole transformation was interesting, and I think it was an interesting movie just to know about how people treat each other, I guess.
Yeah.
And because for like the guy, what's his name, Michael something, the guy who it was in Red State that also played the guy who made the roars. He had multiple aliases in Tusk, but anyway.
I was like, is it Michael Myers? It's not Michael.
No,
Myers.
His name is Michael.
It's not Michael Mann.
Anyway, no, but
I forget. But we apologize.
But he's like a really great actor.
We knew his name.
He's a really great actor, and but anyway, the guy who basically did the creepy dude that like basically transformed Justin Long into a walrus, he was abused. They had a backstory that he was abused and in an orphanage for. Up until he was 15 and ran away from there. But that's also really cool that the cycle goes back around. Because I always hear about, like, people that are abused or raped and stuff. Or, you know, like, multiple times. And they actually, like, a lot of them do actually continue to do that to other people. Because I think that they think that it's okay. You know, if you're 5 years old getting raped and stuff. It's like, you think that that's how people act.
And unknowingly, that's how they outlash against everyone else while trying to get revenge on the person that did it.
Yeah, it's a sick cycle of sickness, actually. So
sick cycle of sickness.
Yeah, and so so you get to like witness all that there, and it does make you really realize like there are a lot of like really creepy people out there, and even from the angle, I know he only met this guy like from a bulletin board post, but a lot of people easily meet people on the internet, you know, and it is creepy. Even though I did earlier this episode have like that story about meeting Susan through Twitter through Kevin Smith.
It's just that's how people do it these days.
At least we meet at like Baltimore Comic Con. Like I always advise, like I meet in like a public place.
Yeah.
But and you know, you got to evaluate that relationship and see if everything's healthy there. But it makes you really realize like, you know, going to somebody's house to like interview them, or you know, I mean that's the instance where it is here, and it really makes you realize like a lot of people like are strangely out to do harm to other people, and it's scary. You gotta just be careful, you know. Like I'm sure the Justin Long character wasn't realizing what he was getting into at all, but I mean,
he had content to fill.
Yeah, I mean it's a hard situation because. I can't even imagine like turning somebody into a walrus. You have to be some like
really
creepy fucking person to do that.
You know, he had that connection with the walrus.
Yeah,
the walrus saved his life.
But it's so weird.
He wanted to relive. He wanted to be you know, return his moments with him again.
It's the weirdest thing ever, though. I think that's the twist on it that makes it like really strange. And I think that the average public, person will never see this movie. It's definitely like a total niche movie. Yes, I don't think that.
But they should. Why not? You know, it's that time. It's October. It's time to get down with the creepiness. It's the creepy time of era.
I don't know if I can like say that There's a lot of people
if you're into that would totally not get this movie.
You know,
like if you're a Karen Michelle, like Karen Michelle loves that stuff.
Yeah, but she's not an average person.
That's what I'm saying. Like
I'm talking about
there's people who love
who loves wearing dockers and golfers.
Horror movie. We got to remember that this is a horror movie. This isn't a romantic comedy. This isn't something like that. This is a horror movie. Not everyone loves horror movies. This is blood and guts, man. You know what I mean? This is blood and guts.
See,
with Kevin Smith.
I actually don't love I love comedies. I actually don't love horror movies.
Well, this is but not everyone loves horror movies.
I was not grossed out by this. I wasn't like wincing and being like, "Oh, blood," and like yeah, but I didn't do any of that.
Yeah, but a lot of it is psychology too. Yeah. At the same time, you know what I mean? You don't really see a lot of, you know, penetration and stuff like that. This is all reveals. This is the magistry of Tusk is the reveal.
And
that's what I think is great about
that. That's what I appreciate.
That's what really this. If you think about the structure of this film, now thinking about this very very much, the beauty and the psychology of horror filmmaking in which Kevin Smith did it was each step of the way, each step of the movie in which you're pulled through is a reveal. There's a reveal this. There's a reveal this. There's a reveal this all the way till the end, and that itself is something I feel like as Kevin Smith as a filmmaker. He's grown like that. You didn't really see that before. This is almost in Tarantino territory of like,
yeah,
okay, now revealing this, now revealing the truth. While it's, you know, two parallel, the flash forward, flashback. This is Kevin Smith doing reveals as we're going. It's like, we didn't know that Wallace was like this. We didn't know that those two were together. We didn't know that there's a French dude coming out, you know, but this is what's fun about that. You're revealing things as we go. And then you realize, oh, now he's stuck like that.
Yeah,
I think it's one of Kevin Smith's visually best films, and as a film, it's super strong. He's getting better. Why is he going to retire? I don't think he's going to retire.
I don't think he should.
I don't want him to retire either. Keep going, man.
I want him to keep making stories. Like, I think he's a really honest, great person, and I think he should keep going. I mean, I know that Hollywood can get you down. You know, I've never
had to live it full on. But also, let's not, you know, why must it always be Hollywood? Let's make something else.
Exactly.
We're
at the point now where, like, Hollywood doesn't need to exist.
We'll call it Hollyweb. You know? It's all on the web now. Hollyweb.
But Hollywood doesn't really need to exist. You know, like, I guess the old school way of doing stuff will always be there, even with any industry, even publishing or anything that people want to do. So many people I know are like, I want to write a book. But like, you know, the publishing industry is just as hard. But nowadays, you can ebook and all that. So, I mean, this movie basically makes you think about life, though, and like how appreciative you should be to even just have legs.
And those are the fun.
I know it's so silly to say, but.
And those are the fun things I really enjoy about. You know, when I go into a Kevin Smith movie, I know consciously I'm not going in to see fluff. That he has that fourth layer of content that's saying something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this movie is probably not for everyone in the sense of the genre. If you're a Kevin Smith fan, you're going to love it because it's a Kevin Smith movie. It has the Kevin Smith all over. It has his kid in it. You know what I mean? So you can't really, you're going to love it. He's going to bring in, they say that, the guaranteed $30 million. But at the end of the day, it's still, you know, as in the horror terms, go for it, man. If you like that type of movie. But if you're not,
like,
I'm not going to say you're going to see it.
I do like how there is like some weird twist with like the walrus and all that. Like, it is kind of so obscure that like it makes it clever. Same thing with that movie. We did get free tickets to see Rubber, which apparently is about a tire that kills people. And like at first, when you first get pitched that, you're just like, the hell? It's a tire and he like kills people?
Yeah.
You're like, I need to see this because it's just so whacked, you know? And that's would you consider that a horror movie? Or
I don't know what to call that.
Anyway,
it's a weird genre, but
I mean, it is like that. It is that weird injection of like, oh, we're going to inject a walrus in this.
Yeah.
Because like that story.
Just make it strange.
That story could be told like it's abduction, you know, like people get mutilated. Like that could be told like regularly. But then they added that walrus injection.
Yeah.
And like the, you know, the whole Wallace walrus thing.
See,
and
I feel like
that made it weird and made it like cool weird.
See, that's to me, that's what makes things stand out. There's all this stuff of like, oh, we're going to make crime and we're going to do this. And then you just follow those standards. You know, you follow the standards of what's already been done because people are comfortable in that. But the fact that you're right, because they adding the fact of like, what? Turn him into a walrus? That is crazy.
Yeah, and
but you need things these days, like, to kick it up that notch, because exactly. That's what makes it original.
And I can see a small segment of the population just wanting to be curious, to check out Tusk, just the way that Wallace was being curious about interviewing this man. And, like, just being like, they're getting lured in by the creepiness.
But let's think about that next level, too. Oh, the kid who chopped off his leg. You don't want to see a kid chopping off his leg. You know what I mean? But that's what the world is. It's like, oh, I need to watch this video. This dude chopped off his leg. That's the pull. It's like, oh, my God, this dude chopped off his leg. You go to this movie, you're like, holy crap, this dude, they turned a guy into a walrus. It's that same, like, must-see reaction. Just like Titanic. I gotta see this. I gotta see it sink. But I gotta see this kid. I gotta see this guy turn into a walrus.
Like, Al-Qaeda chopping off people's heads.
It's this must-see stuff. You don't want to see it, but you have to see it. You know what I mean? It's like you can't miss it. It's one of those things. And that's almost in a way the staple of horror. You know, it's like, oh, my God, I gotta see all these things happen. I gotta see, you know what I mean? It's like crazy enough. But Kevin, to take it to that next level, you know, and not everyone is going to be like that, but it's awesome to see Kevin Smith as a filmmaker take it to that next level. I think it's visually one of his best. I think he worked that genre really well. It's a freaking Kevin Smith movie. You can measure it as one of the best ones, because in the world, there is no greatest movie ever. There's not going to be the greatest movie ever. It's the one that you freaking enjoy right now.
But as you pointed out earlier, this movie does show he's improving.
He's so improving.
So, like, who knows what else can come out of him next, you know? Like, I feel like when he announced that he was, like, retiring and just making that hockey movie and then that's it, like, I was like, I respect his decision. Sometimes, you know, you gotta just respect what he knows is best for himself and his family. But then I'm like, man, dude, you still have more going for you. Don't let this be the last, Kevin.
Don't let this be the last, Kevin. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's Carolyn and Joe show. It's always an honor to have you guys listening to us talk. Let us know. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarbio.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. And my films at one-shots.com. Also, don't forget to check out Karen Walewski's work at curls-studio.com. Check out her comic strip. Comes out every Monday at curls-studio.com/curls. What else, Carolyn?
Well, we'll be at New York Comic Con again on booth 1162 at the Comics Pavilion/Small Press Area. Again, that's on the main floor, and we're at table 1162. Look for Curls Studio. Joe and I will be there, and also we'll be there with Laughing Redhead Studio. See you in a few weeks at New York Comic Con.
Catch you all later. Be excellent to each other. See you, Carolyn.
Adios.